everybody. I'm Brittany Lewis with Forbes Breaking News. Joining me now is criminal defense attorney Silva Magardishian. Silva, thank you so much for joining me. Big news, really historic news this week. Jennifer and James Crumbly, the parents of school shooter Ethan Crumbly, were sentenced to 10 to 15 years for involuntary manslaughter after the November 2021 Michigan mass shooting. First, before we dive into the conversation, what's your reaction to the sentence?
Oh, Brittany, it's a shock a little bit, only because it is the first time that parents have been held criminally liable for what their child did in a school shooting sense. Was I shocked? I'm gonna say no. I wasn't shocked to the verdict, and I wasn't shocked to the judge's sentence. And there really is two reasons for that. Number one, the media focus on this case was huge. And I don't think the judge felt comfortable to give them less than 15 years because the eyes of the world were watching. The second issue too is this case is a little bit exceptional in its facts, where a child's cries for help were consistently ignored. And I feel like the judge and the jury absolutely wanted to send a message, which was when your child seems distressed and has mental health issues, lock your guns and make sure they're safe and the child doesn't have access to them. I think because of those two issues, it doesn't necessarily shock me, but I am a little bit shocked at the harshness of the sentence to the parents.
Ethan Crumbly, as we know, was found guilty in December. If he was found responsible for his actions, why then this verdict, this sentence for his parents?
You know, Brittany, I think it's a few reasons. The exceptional aspect of this case is how much they did ignore the warning signals. We know that Ethan was sentenced to life without parole, but the issue was when a child's cries are ignored. For instance, Ethan was telling his parents, look, I'm not feeling right, seeing demons, seeing demonology. No parent wants to believe that their child needs mental health treatment. And on top of that, no parent wants to believe that their child is going to kill anybody, much less shoot up a school. And I think the public was not satisfied with the fact that this boy was charged with the murders. They wanted to hold accountable parents who ignored legitimate cries for help. Ignoring the mental health aspects, I feel like no matter what we think, if this child were given intervention, do we necessarily think this child would have killed people? And another question, if this child did not have such easy access to a weapon, he would have never been able to commit the level of murder that he did at the school. Knowing both those aspects, I think people wanted more. And they got more because every single person involved in this case is going to have a hefty sentence.
The Crumblies almost now are household names, and the judge really threw the book at them, 10 to 15 year sentence. What message do you think that sentence is sending?
You know, it's funny because the prosecutor had made statements after the sentencing saying that this is an exceptional case and it doesn't open the door wide. As a defense attorney who deals a lot with juvenile cases, I am worried. I do think it sends a very big lesson and a warning to parents, which is number one, if you have a gun in the home, you make sure it's locked and safe. I don't think it restricts gun rights in any capacity. It's saying that if you have a gun or your child is interested in guns, make sure it is locked safely away, which we know in this case it was not. The second thing, if your child has definitive mental health issues, demonology statements, troubling illustrations, text messages asking for help, you cannot ignore that. You need to get help for your child. And again, if it's essentially if you're giving a child who is really violent in their expression or is living almost in this almost like a mythical world of demonology, make sure you don't give him a gun. In this case, his father gave him a gun a few days before the incident. It is very distinctive facts, but I think they can be easily used in other cases where good families who believe their child could never do this does the unthinkable. You cannot ignore those warning signs.
As you said, Ethan Crumbly had easy access to a gun. His family gave it to him, his father, I believe. Also, those troubling photos, he was crying out for help. Those went largely ignored. 10 to 15 years, that's a lot of time. Do you think, in your opinion, does the punishment fit the crime?
Ooh, that's a tough one, Brittany. Okay, I'm going to answer it two ways. I do think the punishment fits the crime when it comes to the public's need for answers in this case. I don't think anybody can say these parents did enough, and I don't think anyone can say that the parents were reasonable in their reactions to their son's issues. I do, however, think as an attorney, as a defense attorney who does juvenile matters, I do think that the sentence is a little excessive. I don't blame the judge, and I want to be clear by that too. Judges have a very difficult job. They have to answer to the public. They are public servants. I think if this judge gave the parents anything less than 10 years, I do think there would have been an excessive backlash because of how emotional this case was and how many signs were ignored. So, do I think it was excessive personally? I do. If I were the judge, I would not have given such a harsh sentence. But underneath it all, Brittany, I understand it.
This is punishing the parents ultimately for the child's crime, holding them responsible for his actions. Do you think that this sets a precedent? And if so, what is that precedent?
You know, I do. I feel like the prosecutor in the case stated that this isn't precedent because it was such an exceptional case. But I actually do think it does open the door. And I think especially with school shootings, where there is this emotional response from the public and the media, where this country is fed up with their children not feeling safe at school. You know, it used to be the safe haven while we were growing up. We never anticipated. Look, I'm a child of the 80s. The only thing we were afraid of was nuclear war from Russia. Things have changed drastically, and because of that, I do think when we have a school shooting case, I think any prosecutor in any state is going to look into the family dynamic, what was happening at the home, what the parents knew, what they didn't knew, and the accessibility of that weapon. Because Brittany, I'll tell you, if the weapon is not safely secured, I do think parents will be liable in some capacity for their child's actions.
I do know that this is an exceptional case. As we've been talking about, there are exceptional details here. But as a defense attorney, do you see this in any way as a sort of slippery slope?
I do. I think when you, I especially believe if it is a case that attracts the public and the media attention, I can see this bleeding into other aspects. But I absolutely believe that every school shooting from this day forward, there will be examination of the parental actions. And I think that slippery slope, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to extend to a child, let's say, God forbid, you know, taking a knife into school, you know, poisoning other children. There are so many different ways. I would be surprised if this bled into other aspects, but again, they're opening a door that we've never had open before. And I think the other issue too, there is a pandemic right now of school shootings. And I think until parents feel safe to send their children to school, I do think there's going to be a natural consequence of any other child that decides to, you know, do a mass shooting, their parents are going to face the consequences.
And the parents here obviously are facing the consequences. Do you think this sentence, though, is an effective way of deterring school shootings and gun violence going forward?
I'm hoping that maybe parents will be a little bit more attentive to a child who is in need. I don't think children will care about this sentence one way or another, especially a child who you know, I think we can all agree a child who goes into a school and wants to hurt has a lot of issues. So I think for a child and their short way of thinking, it's not going to affect their decision. But I'm hoping that parents might be a little bit more careful if they find a drawing that is troubling. If they get text messages of a child saying, "Mom, I don't know what I'm seeing, I need help." I think all of that together, it needs to be recognized and handled in a reasonable fashion. And I think that's really what this case is going to show parents.
And you're in a really unique position because you're a defense attorney focusing on juveniles. In your position, what do you think then, when we're talking about this, is missing from the national dialogue?
You know, I always say, Brittany, it goes to, we need to have very specific mental health policies in place for people under the age of 18. The school counselor is not enough. We need therapists and psychologists and psychiatrists who are able to deal with a child's brain and a child's issues. Especially, you know, someone like Ethan Crumley, who saw a lot of negative imagery and did lash out in this way. We have to have a deeper discussion and an open dialogue about children's needs. You know, for me, 90% of the children I represent come from extreme trauma. They've witnessed murders. They've had parents die young or in state prison, children of addiction. And a lot of times, DCFS or Child Protective Services, they don't understand the desperate need for therapy for a young child or a baby who has gone through trauma. They don't have the tools to understand at 14 years old what happened to them. We need to have a deeper discussion. Once I get the child, it's too late. Of course, we put them in a therapeutic environment where I have a psychiatrist ready, but by that time, I'm hired because a crime has been committed. Could you imagine if that child was treated right when the trauma occurred? And if the child is too young, you wait till the child understands conceptually and put them into therapy where their fears and anxiety are addressed and not swept under the rug. There are very few children who are able to handle trauma 5 and below. They really need more than what their parents can give. They need someone who's trained to understand, diagnose, and treat. And until we do that, we're going to continue having issues with children. And that, I think, is what the biggest lesson of this case is.
And do you think this case is really putting bad parenting on trial?
You know, Brittany, I think there's a difference between bad parenting and essentially unreasonable, dangerous parenting, right? Where a lot of warning signs are not only ignored, but completely almost forgotten. So Look, I always say there's no manual for parenting. I feel like majority of parents try their best to be the best they can. You know, social media, so many children have these, you know, different lives and personalities that parents don't even understand on social media. I don't think parents understand how important it is also to monitor those social media accounts to make sure their child is okay, you know, not being bullied or not saying scary things online. So I think society needs to forgive parents, but at the same time, let them understand that when your child is having issues that are deliberate, there has to be things that you do to prevent tragedy. And by the way, Brittany, it's not only just killing other people. We also have a high suicide rate of children under the age of 18. No parent should have to face that. I think schools have to be educated as well when they see a child in need. Rather than suspend them for 3 weeks, how about we put them in therapy for 3 weeks? I mean, honestly, let's change the dialogue away from slapping the wrist and more towards treating. And I think once we treat, we prevent. And, you know, again, people lost their lives here, and we can't forget that either. 4 innocent teenagers lost their lives. And it breaks me because no parent should have to go through that.
It's a really, really just heartbreaking story all around. Silva, thank you so much for coming in, providing your insights today. Hopefully you can join me again soon.
I would be honored. Thank you, Brittany, for everything. And it's something that we should discuss because by discussing it, we'll prevent it.